know that there's a big move of God taking place in the area, that there's a revival taking place. People are being healed, people are being delivered and set free, and all of this stuff. And instead of Jesus staying there riding the wave of that, he pulls off to himself, but his disciples follow. And he begins to sit down and teaches them. More and more that I read this, we call this the Sermon on the Mount. This is not a sermon. This is not Jesus standing up and preaching. This is first century seminary. This is the best professor of all professors. The second one is Dr. Tucker. The third one is Dr. Robinson. That's just my opinion. But this is the master lecturer sits down and he teaches them something. So he goes through those beatitudes, blessed are the poor. We've talked about these, that to be poor means to be broken. To mourn means to be severed and situated. Gentle means restrained and ready. Hunger and thirst means controlled and consecrated. Merciful, sensitive and seated. Pure in heart, refined and resolute. Peacemakers, disruptive and decisive. We talked through all of these. And I thank God that these are now living stones in my heart to really set my life on this path to being salt of the earth, light of the world. These are the predicaments that we find ourselves in as believers. This morning, the best way to, I believe, to wrap this series up is not to preach it, but to really teach it. Not a lot of hooping, I don't hoop anyways. Actually, this is one black preacher that does not know how to do the first of all, it's annoying, but that's just a whole other thing, you know. I envy it, but I can't do it. My throat's not set up that way. And I sweat too much for that. Aaron, just focus, Robinson. So he says these beatitudes, and then he gets to this last one here. And he says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, here's I'm going to walk you through this, and this might be a morning to take some notes, to write some things down if you don't usually do this. But I would say that this today should even encourage us, when you have time, go back and listen through these Beatitude sermons again, just to anchor your heart in something that happened. In this final beatitude, and understand this, when you get to 11 and 12, 11 and 12 are not more beatitudes, they're just an expansion on the eighth beatitude. The last reward is there in verse 10. 11 and 12 just appraises that. They don't add another beatitude. But then this is something that I did yesterday. I was in my office, and I'm sitting at my computer, and I'm just doing some final things here, and then I just really felt to go to my blackboard. And as I go to my blackboard, see fine, y'all, see fine. Okay, I'm sorry, the photo was distracting. I'm looking at my blackboard. No, she ain't all right, she fine. Somebody back there hating. I wrote down all of the beatitudes on one side, the promises on the other side, and it gave me a new understanding. But first, I was distracted when I was writing down the Beatitudes, because I noticed something, and I don't know if you see it here, but I'm gonna show it to you this way. I said, you know what? Jesus didn't take homiletic classes from me. He didn't learn how to preach and teach from me. I'm gonna tell you why, Christina. Somebody say why.
Why?
Okay, I'm gonna show you why. Go to that next slide, Mike. Look at these Beatitudes. I said, come on, Jesus. If Jesus were in my class, I would have gave him a 96. It's still an A. It's still an A. And he would have come back and say, Dr. Robinson, how come I couldn't get 100? And I say to all my students, you know, you don't just get 100 in my class. You don't walk in with 100. You calm down with the entitlement. So here's me helping Jesus preach a better sermon. And we'll just do it quick. Let's do it quick, Mike, because I don't want them to stone me. I just said, I mean, we could have some fun with this, Jesus. I mean, this is my distracted self in my study. I just needed the rest to be peas. So blessed are the ones who put things to death. Blessed are those who press pause on power. Blessed are those who pursues holiness, or the one who pursues holiness, and those who pity the suffering. Okay, let's move on. But here's the deal. Here's what happens though. Mike, go to that next slide for me. I'm going to tell you something about the Beatitudes that I did not realize until I wrote them on my blackboard. The first and the last Beatitudes are Beatitudes of what I call imposition. They're Beatitudes that are externally influenced. So understand this. Even though we can realize our poverty, I am broke and I am broken, it's really just a realization of our state. That this when Jesus starts with blessed are the poor in spirit, the blessing of the first beatitude and the last beatitude are the same. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Ironically, I wrote this down, and it's at least ironic to me, when I wrote this down, this first beatitude reiterates something that we say often, but we don't appreciate the gravity of it. I can't stand cliches. I'm going to tell you the biggest reason why I can't stand cliches, because most of them are kind of true. Now, think about it. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. But he is. Ew. God can make a way when there seems to be no way. Shut up. But he can. God always knows the end from the beginning. But he does. The very first beatitude, blessed are the poor, a beatitude of imposition. That our poverty, our broke and brokenness. Listen, we talked about in that sermon, right? It could be a generational spiritual poverty. It could be a situational spiritual poverty. Either one, it's still imposition. Sometimes the situation we may have brought upon ourselves because we made some decisions, but even if the imposition has to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 in the garden, the fall of humanity, it's imposition. You weren't there. I wasn't there. Now, before we begin to go ahead and throw stones at Adam and Eve, please do not think that your godliness is so great that you would have done better in the garden. In fact, I think that Adam and Eve are much better than me because my story probably would have taken place at the end of chapter 1. It would have been like, and God created Aaron. Come on. I mean, it was just, I would have interrupted the whole creation narrative. As soon as he said, and it was, come on, Robinson. I mean, imposition. The fall of humanity is an imposition on everyone else that comes. So blessed are they that are poor. But this is what I began to understand. Even when our predicament is externally influenced, the promises of God are still yes and amen. Whatever your story is in this place that has brought you to a place of poverty, the spiritual broke and spiritual brokenness, whatever your situation, I didn't grow up in church, my mom and dad did this, I grew up this way, I grew up that way, this happened in my life, I understand. Let me not say I understand like I've been where you are, because I don't know. But I understand that though that is true, when we come to the realization that even though this was imposed upon me, it does not preclude me from the promises of God. Some of you need to hear those words and let them just settle. Let them just settle in your heart. Because some of you think that the promises of God are far removed from you because of situations that you found yourself in. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But then something beautiful began to take place. I was writing on my board and I would step back and look at it. And I'll write on it again and I'll step back and look at it. And I'm beginning to see patterns here. And I want to walk you through some of the patterns. Because the first and the last beatitude, they form what's called an inclusio. That means that this first one and this last one, when you're doing biblical studies, you'll see if there's a list of something. So we have these beatitudes, right? It's repetitive. Blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are. So when you see that list, then you begin to look at it from top to bottom, and you notice that if there's some patterns that you see, some similarities, you note those similarities. Well, here's a similarity. That the blessed are the poor, this is an imposition. Here's a promise, kingdom of heaven. Then you get down to the last one, persecuted, kingdom of heaven. So now, the first and the last, they form what's called an inclusio, which means those are important. But there means that everything in the middle is an altogether different kind of important. And so now you got to sit back and say, now how are these things working together? I'm not preaching this morning, I'm just teaching. I'm just walking you through a helicopter view to really understand these Beatitudes in a different light. So then I begin to look at the rest of the Beatitudes. So out of the eight, we have two that are impositions. And now let's look at the others, right? Well, then you get to the second two. I begin to notice that they start working themselves out in pairs. The first set after this one is, I call it a predicament of release. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that are gentle. With these two Beatitudes, I'm relinquishing this. I'm letting go of this, including my own strength and will. Mourn, I let it go. Gentle, I let it go. There's a release to allow the Lord then to step into that. So here's a reality that I wrote down. And I didn't see this at the beginning. And this preparing for today, just the Lord just showed me this, that with these predicaments of a release, understand this, with every release, God promises a replacement. With every release, God promises a replacement. I'm letting this go. Comforted. Letting this go, earth. God will never ask you to give up something that he's not willing to give you in return. Cliche, pastor, but it's true. Abraham. Sacrifice your son. Which son? Abraham. Sacrifice your son. Who? Your only son. The one whom you love. What does God ask you to release? Hey, let go of that. I know you're holding on. You're trying to be in control, but blessed are the gentle. Let me control it. He won't ask you to give that up and not replace it with a better outcome. It's difficult to say something like that because I feel like it can step kind of close to this prosperity gospel. But this is not that. We're just talking about the clear promises of God. Blessed are those who mourn. They're going to be comforted. The pain that letting go of that causes you, the Spirit of God promises, I will replace that pain with comfort. The discomfort that saying yes and obeying God, the discomfort that comes along with that. And so for some of us in this place, we're holding on to something and we just can't let it go because letting go will hurt too doggone much. But the release offers a promise. I'm going to replace that. The gentleness, some of us, I can't be run over. I can't be a pushover here. They have to know. But just releasing that, God says you'll get way more than what you're trying to hold on to. There's the predicament of release, but then there's a predicament of resolve. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. This resolve is that I'm determined to make this my pursuit and my posture. Think about it. Hunger and thirst after righteousness is you saying, this is what my pursuit is. Remember, we said that hunger and thirst is not a place of starvation. I'm making the decision. This is what I'm hungry for. I'm not hungry for ribs. I want chicken. This is what hunger and thirst means. It means I have the power and the authority to decide what I'm hungry for. It's a resolve that says what's going to motivate my thought, words, and actions are the holiness of God. But it's also a resolve to say, and in the midst of pursuing the holiness of God, almost like Isaiah said, woe is me, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And in that moment, he's asking to be cleansed. But then he says this, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. The resolve to be merciful says, you don't have to be merciful unless you're in a place where mercy is needed. You don't have to be merciful unless you're in a place where mercy is needed. So in other words, when he says, blessed are the merciful, he says, blessed are those who have this resolve that in these situations and circumstances where mercy is necessary, it will come from me. I'll be a faithful witness to the mercies of God. There's the predicament of imposition. I'm born into this world poor. I didn't come out of the womb and decide, you know what? I'm going to be broken. That's my lot. The only one that stepped out of perfection and decided that was Jesus. Blessed are the poor in position. The mourning and the gentle, they've released. The ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness and the merciful, they've resolved. Then there's a predicament of response. Purity and peace. Think about this. Both of these are beatitudes that speak about the environment. I've made up in my mind that this is my response to contamination and chaos. Pure in heart means that it's held in contrast to impurity. Peace means that it's held in contrast to hostility. My response to the environment around me is not, well, everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. My response to the environment around me is not, well, this is okay for everybody else, it's okay for me. My response in this environment that's chaos is not, well, I can't do it the way that it is. No, I seek peace and pursue it. Understand this. As I look at these, if you've been following Christ for a year, if you've been following Christ for a decade, if you've been following Christ for a quarter century, and I am privileged to pastor a church where some in here can say, I've been serving Christ for three quarters of a century, then you would know that release, resolve, and response are three things that we've been challenged with in our walk. Has it not been? With every release, God promises replacement. With every resolve, he promises refreshing. Our resolve to pursue righteousness and show mercy to those who suffer demands a response from heaven. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, there's a satisfaction that he brings in our communion with him. When we pour out mercy on others, heaven pours out mercy on us. And when we have this resolve that we're going to be people of purity and people of peace, God draws near to us. The presence of God goes with us. This is promising. But what's challenging is, with every spirit-filled and spirit-led response, although God draws us to deeper relationship with him, the reality is it doesn't stop with these. Before we even get into a place, before we even make up in our mind that we're going to release, he says, I just want you to understand, before you ever got here, you came into this world broken. I need you to realize your spiritual poverty. Okay, Lord, I realize it. Great. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Now step into some place of mourning. Step into this place of where you're going to have to be gentle. I know you don't want to. I know you want to flex right now. Now it's not a time to flex. It's a time to lean. Hunger and thirst, mercy, purity, peace. And at the end of those, you want to say, whew, that was tough. All right, God, so where's that kingdom you were promising? Because I didn't see it in the morning. I didn't see it in the gentleness. I didn't see it when I was hungering and thirsty. Where's that kingdom? Oh, wait. There's one more imposition. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. Wait, Jesus, you already said that I get the kingdom from poverty. No, listen, more imposition comes. Because the reality is that in our pursuit of godliness, in our journey to being faithful witnesses, it's going to be met with opposition. Jesus basically says it this way. He says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he expands on that and says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. In other words, what he's saying is, the very foundation on which you stand, the foundation of faith, those of you that are here that are teenagers, that are still in middle school, elementary school, high school, even college age that are here, you understand that what you're here today, and you might say, you know what, serving God is not fun. I'm going through this, and it's not fun. It should be this. Do you understand that those who sit in here that have some years ahead of you, they've gone through some of this? I know technology was different. I know entertainment was different. Sin don't change. Only thing that sin changes is its clothes and its zip code. But throughout the centuries, sin has been sin. Throughout the centuries, there's been a kingdom of this world set dead against the kingdom of heaven, and those who have chosen to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven have been in opposition with the kingdom of this world. And it won't change until he returns for us. Could not close out this series without asking a question, so I figure since we're closing it out, I'm going to ask two. What are you ready for? Not what are you waiting for? What are you ready for? And what are you ready with? I would that you would jot down a couple things on your paper to think about stuff that you think that you're ready for. Because I've heard it year after year. Man, I'm ready for, you fill in the blank. Single people, I'm ready to get married. I heard several married people with my eyes looking down, I heard married people chuckling. And they've probably been married more than 25, 30 years. Busy people, I'm ready for a vacation. Stressed out, I'm ready for this to all be over. What's some other readies that you've said? I'm ready to snap, I'm ready to quit, ready to throw in the towel. What are you ready for? But then the next question, what are you ready with? Because whatever we're ready for most of us, we're armed with emotion and experience. I'm ready for this. And when this gets here, all I have is evidence of hurt, pain, and sorrow. What they did to me. Oh, when this gets here, they are going to know. When this gets here, people are going to finally. Yeah. This morning, as we close out this series, I hear the Spirit of God saying, be ready with receipts. Blessed are those who are persecuted, right? Be ready with receipts. Lisa, you can come. You're going to be here for a little while, but I just figure if I do that, it'll, you know. set false hope in the congregation. Be ready with receipts. What the text suggests when we read here is that any of us who have decided that we are going to be, when we've made up in our minds, I am going to be a faithful witness to the righteous rule and reign of God over all humanity, the victory of the Lamb for the redemption of humanity. If we say, I'm going to be a faithful witness, we should live in a state of expectancy. What we're ready for, we should be ready to experience persecution, because that is what the prophets experienced. If we are going to be faithful witnesses, if you're going to go through that resolve, that release, response, if you're going to walk in through those things, you should know resistance is coming. That's what we are to be ready for. Peter says, prepare your minds for action. Church, are you ready? Are you really ready for persecution? As I'm reading through this and reading through some commentary and stuff and just talking about this, they're saying, you know, as Matthew's writing this, he's understanding that, and you'll read this throughout the New Testament, we'll see this at times in the book of Revelation, that the persecution is not just persecution from outside. Some will get persecution in the church. Some persecution in your own household. This is why when we talked about it last week and we were talking about the peacemakers, Jesus said, listen, I know that when I come bringing this gospel, it's going to set son against father, mother against daughter. There's going to be persecution. Are you ready for it, church? And I know we want to say yes, because we want to believe that we are that committed to this thing, but are we really ready for it? Because it's going to be met with some resistance. That's what we need to be ready for. But let's talk about the receipts. Pastor, what do you mean be ready with the receipts? Well, because he gives us what it looks like. Let me just say it this way. I cannot stand. I don't like the grocery shop. When we pull up to Walmart or Sam's or whatever, my wife knows that I love her because I will actually get out the car and go in. I may or may not bring my iPad with me sometimes and read as we go down the aisles, especially when my back was bad and I got to ride in those little carts. I just propped that little thing up and just read books while we... But I'm going to tell you, it's bad. If I go shopping, I've done something great. But you want to know what's the most irritating? I don't like to spend my time shopping. And as I'm heading out the door, there's someone standing there with a Sharpie. How many know what I'm talking about? You don't need to see this. I spent all my time shopping, and I spent all my time in the line, and now I've got to show you this so you can check things off the box. And sometimes I'm watching them like, you're not even really checking. They're talking to Karen. Hey, girl, because you know, yeah, the boop, boop, boop. I'm like, they're not even doing this thing. If you're going to delay me. But see, I wonder for us sometimes when we get out of this, whatever this is, the predicament that you're in right now. My question to you, Wes Highland, is when you step out of this predicament, there's someone at the door ready to see your receipts. And what are you going to show them? What are you going to show them? Yeah, this was a bad season in our marriage. What are you going to show when you get out of it? This is a bad season in our family. What are you going to show? I remember that stretch of years at work. When you get out of this, because you know what? I've seen this. Now, this is when I enjoy. This is bad. But this is when I enjoy going shopping. I love, because I respect them for asking the receipts now, because I see why. I've seen some people try to get out of there. You did not pay for that water. Oh my. And it's like watching a TV show. I'm sitting back like, are they going to get them? They're going to, ooh, they're. And when they get, and you know what happens? You got one or two options. You could get locked up and pay for it, or you can go all the way back to the store, all the way back to the line, and pay for it all over again. let me ask you all, when you come out of this, do you have your receipts? What does your receipt say? What does your receipt say? Because the shopping list we just talked about over the past 8 weeks, I got it right here. Listen, I do realize that I am poor. I'm broken, Lisa. I've come through this thing, and it's not by what I have, what I've done. I'm broken. There's my receipts. Okay, you come out of this thing, but what's that you're holding on to? No. It's severed. I'm situated. I'm mourning this thing. It's over. I'm done. And I won't make you walk through the rest of the weeks, but I'm going to ask you, West Highland, when this thing is over, do you have your receipts? Let me show you a few of what the resistance looks like. And this is, because we've talked about our resolve and our response. But let me tell you, and then I'm going to walk you through a season in a second here. Church, the Spirit of God is about to turn the heat up in this church. He's going to turn the heat up in our homes. He is. He's going to wreck us and deck us. It's happening. He's going to turn up the heat in our homes. And when he turns up the heat in our homes, he's going to turn up the heat in his house. And when he turns up the heat in his house, he's going to turn up his heat in this community. But remember, it's not met without resistance. Let me tell you what that resistance looks like. And this is where the receipts are going to have to come in. He says, blessed are you when they insult you. You know what? It's interesting when we read that. We almost mistake it as when they talk about you and they make fun of you. But you know the word literally means to find justifiable fault with someone. When they insult you, Lisa, it's true. But they do it in a way that demeans. You know, he used to be an alcoholic. It's true. You know, this is what they did before. It's true. It's going to happen. You're going to find yourself pursuing God in a way like never before, and someone's going to remind you when you weren't pursuing him so intensely. Children, look at me close, kids. I'm trying to find where all the kids are. Because guess what's going to happen? In these weeks and months to come, mom and dad are going to get uncomfortably sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he's going to say, this is how. And all of a sudden, things that mom and dad used to be okay with, they're all of a sudden not okay with it anymore. And so moms and dads, maybe not let me talk to kids, let me talk to mom and dads. Mom and dads, you're going to hear your kids say, well, you weren't saying that last week. It's true. But blessed are they. Well, last year you let me. I know I did. The Spirit of God is saying no. Husbands, wives, he's going to turn it up in your marriage. And your wife and your husband, you're going to be in a conflict, and one of you are going to try to bring up that past, and it's true. Let me encourage the one that's on the opposite side of that insult to say, just take it. Lord, what they're saying is right. Lord, help me to be merciful and gentle in this moment. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for that what they're saying is not who I am now. Lord, lead our family. There's going to be some insults, folks. Folks are going to remind you of your struggles. And you're going to have to say, I know. I'm broken. Thank you, God, for grace. He's turning up the heat. Then he says, those who persecute you. These are unwarranted aggressions. Insults are true. The persecution, you're going to get some stuff that just came from far left field, and you're like, what in the world? How are we even talking about? When did that happen? What do you mean? He says it happened. It happened to the prophets. Why wouldn't it happen to us? It happened to Jesus. Why wouldn't it happen to us? Are we not followers of the Lamb? So it says in Revelation 14:4. And it says, they follow him wherever he goes. He's had to go through this. And this one. And when they falsely say, when they say these things that you're, it's not just that this is like, this is an absolute fabricated story against you. This is what we need to be ready for. And in all of these things, undeniable charges, unwarranted aggressions, unsubstantiated accusations. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are those that continue, even in all this, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Beloved, blessed are those that step into a place and say, I want to make peace here. Blessed are the pure in heart. And all of these things that we go through, this is what the Beatitudes are for. Because we're going to be met with these three different kind of situations. Just one of the three. And what is our response? Would you stand with me? Church, you're going to hear more about this in the weeks to come. But my responsibility as a shepherd is not just to encourage you or tell you, be ready, but it's to help you, to make room for you to be ready. My responsibility, the mandate on my shoulders is to ready you. I'm not going to make you raise your hand and say, who wants to be ready? Because if you don't, then that's unfortunate. But I believe that we really want to be ready. Those of us that want to follow after Christ, we want to be ready for this reality that it's going to be met with resistance. So we've been praying. I've been talking with elders and folks. We're going to step into next year doing something different. We're going to go through a season of prayer in this church. I'm going to share with you more about this, but there are so many things that have come across my mind. It's come across in meetings. I was talking even with the academy, things that are going on over there. We have families that just need the love of God. We've got folks that are going through financial things. Folks that are going through things in their home. We have folks that are just trying to transition and work because of the work situation that they're in. And how many want to just be a church that just called out to God and just saw him respond? Come on, church. How many want to be a testimony to God? He heard my cry. So we're going to go 25 and 25. Then in 2025, we're going to take 25 weeks of prayer. But on Sunday nights, we're going to come into the sanctuary. I'm going to share this with the academy, and we're going to invite the academy parents to come as well because they're part of this family. They are part of West Highland Ministries. And there's some things that we've been praying about. I know that some of you that in this place, you've been hearing conversation and stuff about, hey, do we expand the sanctuary? Do we expand the gymnasium? Lord, what do you want to do in this house? What do you want to do in this house? But here's these three words, and you're going to start seeing them on screens and probably even in the foyer. These three words. My home, our church, his kingdom. My home, our church, so my, Aaron Robinson's home, my family. Our church, not my church, not your church. Our collective, together, church. My home. Our church, his kingdom. How many want to see that? How many want to see that in this year to come? Father, thank you for meeting us today in your word, not just today, but over these past couple months. Lord, you've equipped us. I believe that the two series that we've just finished were foundational to where you're going to take us in the year to come. I pray that you would make us a readied church. Make us a church, Lord, that is ready, not just for the persecution that is to come, but ready in season and out season to be faithful witness to the righteous rule and reign of God over all of creation and the victory of your Son given for the redemption of all humanity. Father, we thank you that it's by the power of your Spirit that we can walk in these predicaments and be, as you've commanded us to be, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On your way out, why don't you just hug somebody, just tell them, get ready. Just tell them, get ready.